Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode. Today, I am joined by Sophie. Sophie has been quietly causing rebellion since 1982. A spontaneous conception, an accident. She was born to disrupt, a confessional artist. She meets her truth to the extremes. Art has been Sophie's medicine. Sophie's creativity, love for life, and non-academic philosophy liberates souls from inner tyranny. I can't even say the word tyranny. I did a terrible job of introducing you. Hello, my love.
Oh, it's amazing to be looking at you.
No one else gets to look at me. No one else gets to see me in a hoodie on a Tuesday afternoon.
Honored.
That's the best bit about adulting for me, right? Like, I get to run my business how I want. I get to have the conversations that I want. I get to set it up so that it works for me, because so many things don't. What does adulting mean to you?
Oh my goodness, Ebony, it's such a good question. So it's, for me, initially I was like, well, it's being a child, just to be totally rebellious about it. But actually, no, it is about those three. It's the element of mother, father, child combined, and taking responsibility for yourself and owning all of it.
What has that meant for you specifically in the last year? Because I know that your life, I didn't know you before, so I don't know how your life was in 2019, but I have seen snippets of the Sophie show, and like followed you on Instagram and kind of been into your story. And then, as we were just saying before we came on live, like, there are so many other places where our lives collide or overlap or intersect. And yet I didn't know you then. So could you want to share a bit of what's happened?
Well, over the last year, I've been very much deep in healing my mother wound. And in the lead up to that, it was about playing again. So I had to really deconstruct myself, which saw me go through therapy and come to a place of using art and scribbling, taking my shit to the page, as I call it, to clear those narratives out and become witness to them, and then become the mother I was seeking within myself. The year has been dedicated to mother. That's been my healing.
Okay, so a lot of the work that I do is about reparenting ourselves. A lot of people who listen to this podcast will have heard us talk about the concept of mothering ourselves, or like the mother wound, or addressing that, or like, finding those parts in ourselves. And lots of people have done that through talking therapy, or maybe a bit of somatic work, or maybe some creativity and some art, taking it to the page. You took it one step further.
By going back to the womb?
Yeah.
I had this call. I was in Provence, and there was this call within myself, and it was, I was angry at myself as a mother and carrying the guilt that I wasn't doing enough and I wasn't turning up enough. And I was angry at my mother for all that she had gifted me through my life. And in that moment, it kind of, time and space compounded. And I felt called to actually go back into the womb I was born in. So I did. So I did this journey within myself and started to really listen into what the narratives were that would have been said whilst I was growing in my teenage mother's womb, which were of rejection. So that's where I went. I went back into that, and it was, took me to a place of complete and utter compassion for her.
Had you ever done anything like that before?
No, I hadn't. No. And I hadn't, it was only afterwards that I'd done it that I then found a book about it. There was me thinking I was all radical.
Yeah. I was 28 when I was, so my dad was a psychotherapist. He wasn't always, but one of the many things that he has and has explored is psychotherapy. And so I was the teenager that he retrained in my teens. And so I was the teenager that used to shout back at him, "Don't fucking therapize me," at him. And so it took a long time for me to want to go into, I mean, I say a long time. I was 28, which is actually very young for a lot of people, but felt like I'd been putting it off and for myself. And I remember being in like session 3 or 4 with her, and we were talking about other things, and there was as a cursory comment, as a throwaway thing, I let her know, or I remarked on the fact that I was born at 26 weeks. So I was born, I was only in my mum for, you know, in the womb for 6 months. And that's a huge amount of time to be early. I weighed 3 pounds when I was born, and she was like, "I'm sorry, what?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, it wasn't really talked about in my household." And so we did like a retrieval. Like, we went back into France to the tiny, roofless, electricity-less, waterless building in which I arrived, and rescued the baby, right? And I like swore and shouted at them for being irresponsible fuckers who thought that love was enough and yada, yada, yada. Because my mum, you know, they were 21 and 23 when they had me. And I love my parents to death. And I not even, you know, I have a lot of respect, and they have gifted me so many things. And the beauty of being able to hold more than one truth is that I can also have absolute compassion for this 3 pound little me that was born into less than ideal circumstances, right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely it, isn't it? It is having that compassion for yourself as the child and going in as then the parent that you didn't necessarily get, because as we've just said, they didn't know. They could only do what they had to hand and with the people that they had, perhaps if they had support around them, which are some kind of support, that's all they had. So they weren't to know.
They weren't to know. And this is the thing that me and my dad talk about quite a lot, which I love, this concept that he always tells me that I picked them. And I know that to be true now, right? Like, I picked the exact parents that I needed to have the soul journey that I needed to have. And so did you. And so, you know, like, and that responsibility piece that we're talking about is, as an adult, it's like we get to go and heal our own wounds, look at our own stuff. Yeah.
And it is that, I love that, picking up on that, that you've chosen it. We are, yeah, we are the desire. We are the glint in our father's eye. You know, we have chosen all of this. And that's when you realise that you have chosen this, you realise the power you hold, the infinite possibilities you hold to create the life you desire.
So what's changed since then?
Oh, so much. I feel, as you just asked me that, I could feel my whole body, sorry, my email's dinging, my whole body is just fizzing. Come back to total alignment, can feel the full force of my power. I could feel a disconnect for a long time. So I knew, I'm very bold in what I wear in terms of colour, and I've got big hair and I like bold shoes, but I couldn't bring, there was part of me that I couldn't bring. So it was almost like I was wearing clothes that were too big for me. But I was always called to those clothes. And now it's like, it's like everything's sort of caught up now. And it just feels this like, right, okay, locked and loaded. I know what I need to do. It's this power force of creativity, of scrappy thinking, of guerrilla antics, of healing through art, of being radical and not feeling ashamed of the artwork that I make, which is confessional. And for a long time I hid it and hid myself as an artist, and now it's like, no, here I am, I have landed, this is what I do, and it's fucking amazing.
I love that, and it is amazing, and I love like all the creativity that you're bringing through, and we'll let people know where they can come and find you and follow you and get involved as well. And I really know that place of, for me, the way that it showed up was that it was like my whole life was, except for one sliver, was here. It doesn't even matter that you can't see me, but that it was here. And then there was this one piece that was so far, was still a child, right? Was still like in the womb, was still terrified of growing, or didn't have what it needed to grow. And like, if you draw a kind of traditional coaching wheel of life, like all the other segments of the pie were at like a 9, but there's no way they could get to a 10 or be fully expressed, because this little sliver was like, no, you know, and hiding, and I didn't even know what it needed to flourish and to grow. And from the place, and what I also didn't even realize is that I was trying to get it to grow from all the places that existed that weren't what it needed, because what it needed was the part of me that wasn't grown. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's rescuing. It's rescuing. And as I'm listening to you, you're reminding me of a childhood dream that I've carried all my life, and I decoded it finally this year. And it was a dream of being in the family home, the ultimate family home of my grandparents, which is where I grew up initially. And I'm standing there, and it had glass fronted living room, and I can see people setting fire to the house. And as a child, I see the fire rip through the house, and I run and I hide into a sliding door pantry. And it was a recurring dream, and I sat with it this year, and I was like, there is such a strong message in this dream. I've got to figure it out. And I realized on the mother journey that actually I have to go back to the child hiding in the pantry and realize that the fire needed to rip through to destroy what was there, and it's okay, but new life grows. I did. So I journeyed back, and I opened the cupboard door, and there I was as this child. And I realized that my whole life, the patterns I've created have been from that dream. It's always been about, I'll keep myself safe in a box. I'll decorate the box, as you can see on my graffiti wall. Listeners won't be able to see it, but I'll decorate this box so beautifully and it will keep me really safe. But I had to come out of it.
I think so many people listening to that are going to identify with it. I mean, I do. And for me, it was the incubator, right? So I was born and I spent the first 3 months of my life in an incubator. And so for years, I put myself in a glass box where I could see everyone and they could see me. And it looked like we were like right next to each other, but no one could fucking touch me. Like, I wouldn't show them my tender parts, my small parts, my undeveloped parts. I just wouldn't. And then one day I was like, well, if I want the kind of love where someone holds me on their chest and like just blends into me, if I want to be held like that, I have to let myself out of the box.
Yeah, which sounds simple.
Doesn't it just?
How painful.
Yeah, it makes me cry even now, right? Because there's just so much like emotion in it. There's energy in motion that needs to move through me. As soon as I even think about it, I'm like, but it's going to be terrifying and exciting and amazing, and I actually don't know what any of these feelings or sensations are, and like, it's still there. And because even though I have definitely, you know, made progress and spent years now in intentionality with it, it's still a part of me that didn't get even remotely looked at until I was 28. So you know, it takes time.
And it's about being gentle with that space and honouring that space. And so many women that I've worked with are so hard on themselves for everything that they've got to. And my question and to them is generally, well, or my saying to them is like, well fucking done. Well done for surviving. Mm. All that you're seeing or judging as bad, which whatever bad means, for all of that you're putting on yourself, you survived. You're here now and you have so much to give.
I love that. I love that. And I'm, when I hear you talk and when I see your art and when I see you, you know, living, being yourself, expressing yourself from a place of embodiment, from a place of empowerment, I see all sorts of things, but what other people might call confidence. And for me, confidence is this wonderful whitewashy word where we're like, I'm just going to scrabble a load of things together in a ball and make it tidy and call it confidence. But my experience is it isn't one thing. It's not like you flicked a switch and became confident.
No way. And in fact, about 5 years ago, I really put myself out there, and that was when I was wearing this, you know, I'm like, I'm here, I'm going to make this, I can do this. But there was the scared child in me, and I wasn't congruent. Mm. It was too much for me to put my soul was like, you've got to be out there, you've got to be big, you've got to do this, you've got to bring it. But it didn't align, and it felt uncomfortable. So I had to go back in and withdraw and really start to understand all the elements of myself, so that now when I turn up, yes, there is still pain. I did something the other day. I put something out very boldly about cervical screenings, and I felt sick about it. I felt so sick about it, but I feel so strongly about it. It's not to convert or preach or anything like that. But it was like, oh, but I had to ride that. And there was a moment in me that's like, take it down, Soph, take it down. You're going to upset everyone. And I was like, that's not where I'm at anymore. I stand by this. I cannot hide this any longer, because it hurts me to hide it.
What I feel is the difference. And I, as I said, I didn't know you before. And so just tell me whether this resonates for you or whether this was your experience. But when I see this in other women, before they've done this kind of mothering the fuck up, before they've done this work, there's an aggression to them, and it's the last thing they want because they're actually terrified, right? But you come, it's like people put, when I see people in this space and they want to express and they want to explode and they're so full of like, see me, hear me, feel me, but it isn't owned yet. It feels aggressive, and it's a bit like, okay, if you could just take a step back because your energy is way in my space. And the difference once you've done this work is that you're owning your own energy. So you can be as big as you want and it's not in my space. Does that make sense?
It is absolutely. As you're saying that, I've got this image of like an apprentice holding a light in their hands. And it's like that. It is that figuring out of dancing with yourself and going, where do I take this? How do I, when I shoot that fireball from my hand, how do I make sure that it's precise and from the heart and sent out with love and power? And absolutely aligned and congruent with who you are. I had to work through that process. And for me, I talk about the, you must express your oppression. And yeah, you've got to go to the ragey points, but know where to use the ragey points. Know which space to take that to. For me, I was throwing a rolling pin through the kitchen and stabbing the page with a pen. But knowing to shift that. And yeah, you might bring rage out to people, but then listen to it. Listen to what comes back and use it. There's nothing bad. It's just, that's the responsibility, isn't it? That's the mothering. That's the father. And that's the child. That's the divine all working together.
Absolutely. And it's such a powerful shift, you know, and when you're in that work, and I see it with all of my clients who are like, just rescue me, just tell me how to do it for me, please. And there is no way to do that, you know. And in my work, I can lead the way and hold your hair and feed you along the, you know, and make sure that you're provided for and witnessed and seen. And in yours, you know, you get facilitating that journey for people quite often, but no one can do it for you.
And you don't want anyone to do it for you, because as an individual myself, I can't describe the magic that has happened. I can show you, I can feel it, but you've got to go on it yourself. And yeah, it's raw, it's painful, it's uncomfortable, But then there's so many highs to it. And the feelings that then, your feelings become so intense, your joy becomes so intense, your orgasms become so intense, everything just becomes totally heightened. And you're right, as the mother, as the supporter, as the womb holder, you're there to hold their hair, hold their hands, and just keep shining the light. And go, you got it, you fucking got it.
And that's the best part of mothering, right? Like I don't have my own children, have many siblings, many godchildren, have been in that role for a lot of people. And the point is to enable them to be sovereign.
And I send my children to a school where they can choose whether they go to lessons or not. Of course, I'm a rebel mother. And it's absolutely that. And it's about them taking responsibility. They're part of a community. And I love watching them grow. And I know that then it means that we can have those truthful and honest conversations at home that I didn't have with my mother, who with an ugly relationship, which I didn't get. So it was like, this is what I'm going to bring for my children. And it's not perfect. I'm not telling you this is the dream life with my children. It's intense. It's confrontational. I stand there days holding a spatula going, how the fuck am I here? I did not ask for any of this. But it's where you get to meet yourself. And yeah, it's been a journey. I wouldn't change it.
I wouldn't change it for you, because it's brought such a depth to your art as well, right?
It really has. It has. It's added another layer. And when I was studying fine art in my 20s, we were told, do not become mothers, because if you become a mother, you will not make it in the art world. And I lived with that. And, you know, there are artists, women artists that I admire, who also peddle this. And I got angry about it, because I was like, hang on a minute, motherhood has brought a whole different dimension, not just in terms of me being a mother, but also the mothering journey with myself. And it's like, this shit needs to be out there. And the women I speak to, they're like, oh, I don't get art. That art doesn't make any sense to me. And it's like, because they don't see themselves. They don't see themselves in the art, because mother is not on the walls. Masters are on the walls, but mother. And when you do see mother on the wall, she is of the gaze of her from her son.
Mm.
So you're not getting the raw truth of mother. And I feel I've got this force of like generational mothers behind me that just keep channeling this art. And that was the promise to myself this year, was to create every creation that came through me. And they have, I mean, they've taken me beyond my boundaries. But it is, it's this kind of disgruntled housewife that's trapped. And it's like, this is not what we are here to do.
I really hear that. If people want to get involved, come find you, come and play in Rebel Motherland, where is the best place for them to come? How can they get involved?
Head to my website, which is raisinganarchists.com.
Of course.
Of course. And I will teach people about anarchy to recorrect whatever you've done. And Instagram, I'm on Instagram, the Rebel Mother.
Great, we'll put all of those links in so it's really easy for people to click through, come and find you. Thank you for having this conversation with me. I just, for me, you know, normalizing this stuff, this journey, this, you know, the messiness of it all is so important, because I still believe that we are sold the lie of perfection and sanitizedness, you know, everything being clean and clear and tidy. And it's just like, actually, that's not how I want to live. It's not what life is.
Not. No, it's a wave. Lots of waves. They're fucking awesome ones. So go ride it.
Yes. Okay. Oh, we could talk all day and I can't. I have to stop.
Do I not need to do a confession?
Oh, you do. You do. You've been, I love that you've just reminded me how I finish my podcast. Thanks for that. So let's have an I'm an adult butt. What have you got?
I'm an adult butt. This year I sat on the beach and steamed my yoni.
On the beach?
On the beach. on the beach. It's all about the vagina this year.
Amazing. I have steamed my yoni in LA in a room full of other women whilst having a conversation about sushi. So there you go. I am an adult. But I sometimes suck at it. There is no food in this house and the washing up hasn't been done for 2 days. Just saying.
Bye, sister.
Yeah, normalizing ridiculousness. You know, sometimes all of that stuff is really taken care of in my house because it's my focus, and other times, like, creating, like, work and business and art and courses is of much greater priority to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am at Ebony Allard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.